It is a privilege to speak on behalf of the many athletes from KU through the years. Bill coached football and track there. But as a reminder, many people have forgotten that the only undisputed championship team in the old Big Six, Big Seven, or Big Eight was coached by our good friend Bill Hargis. Very few people are unaware, too, that he coached some track boys who finished first and third in the Olympics and the decathlon. And I could go on and tell you things about Bill, but the most important thing to me about Bill Hargis is the great human side that I've known of Bill since the days I played at KU. As a 16-year-old, I thought, budding baseball player, I went to a CMTC camp at Fort Leavenworth and found Bill Hargis up there watching me catch in a baseball game one day. Our company was playing another company. And when the game was over, the coach of our team told me that Bill Hargis was there to talk to me about going to school at KU. And I told him that I was only a junior and had one more year of high school left. So I visited with Bill a little while, and when he left, after impressing me very, very much, he said, Carney, when it's time for you to go to college, I want to see you up there at KU. Well, I took that as a command, not as a choice. And when I graduated, my eyes had always pointed me toward KU. And during that time, I was fortunate enough to play under a great coach and a great man like Bill Hargis. I think the fellows who have played for him and who have lived by his side and who know him as personally as all of you do through those early years at C of E and here at KSTC and at KU, know Bill Hargis as a person even more so than you do as a coach. I see Bill, through my own years of coaching football, as the first, if not the first, at least one of the first, of that old school of coaches who believed it was more important to play the game and to learn what you could from the game, win or lose, regardless of this win at any cost or win at any price that we so frequently see then and do now. Bill Hargis was a kind man. He loved to win, but he never alibied when his team was beaten. I've seen Bill through some tough hardships at KU, and men who have coached and understand what he was going through know that there are good times and bad times. But through all of these times, he came out always with a smile on his face and the expression that we'll get him next time. He was always congratulatory about the teams that won. He worked hard to win the next time they played them, and he worked the boys the same way. He was a driver in many instances, but the type of a personality that could drive a boy as far as he could go and still feel his coach was doing a great job. He knew a lot about psychology, I think, beyond his day, and more into modern football, about how it was used and how it was applied. I think he became a friend of every boy who ever played for him. And I believe these are some of the memories that we all cherish the most. Because to us, Bill Hargis was a man first, a teacher second, and a coach third. That's one reason we're proud of him. You know, we could never beat Nebraska in the days Bill coached, either before and not too often afterward. And during the Nebraska game in 1930, there's Lee Davis here and Paul Fisher and others who played on that team. I have to tell this about Bill. He was talking about applied psychology and how to use it, and I've learned a lot from his method of applying psychology. But we had held this Nebraska team on the 3-yard line just before the end of the half. And with a minute or two to go, we had called timeout. And Bill leaned out on that bench and looked down this way, and he yelled, "Carney, come here." And I did. I jumped up in a hurry, and I jumped up right in front of him, and he towered over me, and he said, "Carney, I want you to go out there and kick that ball out of bounds on the Nebraska side, somewhere around the 45-yard line. Well, we had the ball at the time on our 2- or 3-yard line, and the only way I could kick that far was to measure up and down as well as distance, and he knew it. that we had one player ineligible at that time, and you were ineligible in those days if you didn't pass in so many hours each week. So I said, yes, sir, coach, and I started out, and he said, now, come back here. He says, I have a few more things I want to tell you. Quigley had called time out in the meantime. And he said, now, whatever you do, take a look at the end zone line, will you, and be sure that you're standing inbounds. Because if you touch that line when you catch the ball, it's an automatic safety. And I said, yes, sir, coach, I know that. I've been through this many times. And I started again, and he tugged me back, and he said, just another thing. Now, I'll let you go when it's time to go in. He hasn't blown that whistle out there yet. He said, now remember, Bertram's playing center. And whatever you do, hang loose, real loose. Because he may throw the ball over your head. He may throw it to the right or to the left. He may throw it back there on a bounce. So hang loose. And I said, I will, coach. And I started off again, and he said, now just a minute. You see, what he was doing was applying psychology. He was trying to build my confidence, you see. All he could, he was boosting my ego and getting me in a frame of mind to go out there and kick that ball, which he doubted I could do himself. So, lo and behold, I take off across that field, and about 5 or 10 yards out there, he yelled back at me, Carney, come here. And I came back. The whistle had blown. It was time to start that play on that punt that he wanted me to kick out of bounds. And he grabbed a hold of my numbers up here, and he stood me right up on my toes. And with his finger in my face, he said, Carney, if you flub that kick, I'll kill you. Well, I wasn't one of the sharpest quarterbacks in those old Big Six days, but I wasn't one of the dumbest either. And I knew we had a fellow playing guard that could kick that ball better than any of us. He practiced with the kickers until he saw the coaching staff coming out. And then, of course, he'd go down where the guards were, and he missed part of that hard work down there. So I go out into the huddle, stand there like a sharp, bright quarterback could, and I said, Lee Davis back in punt formation, and I'm going to play guard. He couldn't say a word. He just throwed up here in his high, squeaky voice. And he said, who, me? And I said, yeah, you. And Bill said to kick that ball out of bounds across the midline. And you know he did. He kicked that ball out of bounds up there on the Nebraska side. We held for the rest of that half. And man, oh man, I tell you, I breathed a sigh of relief. And I started toward the rooms, and Bill Hargis came out toward me like that, and he slapped me across the back. And he said, Connie, that's one of the best kicks under pressure I believe I ever saw in all my life. Of course, I'm sure you recognize that as a put-up story. It's an old football story about punters and coaches and the psychology of coaching and so on. But, Bill, it's been a pleasure to be here tonight to represent people like Clyde Kaufman, a great pole vaulter, a little fellow about 165, 66, that finished third in the Olympics. I'll tell you, Paul Fisher that I've mentioned before, Mutt Thornhill, Dutch Hauser, Lee, and many others who played for you, love you just like I do. As a father and as a person and as a great man. And we're proud to be here tonight to help in this tribute to a great coach and a great gentleman. Thank you.